In the Gospel of St. Mark, it says, "And looking, they saw the stone rolled back, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed with a white robe, and they were astonished. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen." Well, we've spent our 40 days of Lent with the angels. We saw our Lord going into the desert on the first Sunday of Lent, and there he met Satan himself, who tried to tempt him. And after he was victorious, the ministering angels came to take care of our Lord. And throughout the different days of Lent, we saw all sorts of angels from different choirs. We talked about our guardian angels and Saint Gabriel, the angel of strength, who consoled our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane, and so many others. And I thought to myself today how very fitting it is that this Easter morning, the very first being that we come across in the Mass is an angel. An angel who then sets men into motion at the very hour of our Lord's resurrection. For Christ's enemies, the evil joy and self-satisfaction that they experienced at the death of our Lord on Good Friday, well, all of that would be quickly turned to consternation, fear, and uncertainty on the following Sunday when the angel descended from heaven and our Lord rose from the dead. For a short time, these enemies felt victorious. The triumph of the Sanhedrin was complete. That prophet of Nazareth, they might say, he was dead, out of their hands. He was buried, and his disciples, well, they had all scattered, and in a short time, so they must have thought to themselves, all that would remain of this prophet and his work would be a quickly fading memory. Not for years had the leaders of this people celebrated the Passover with such pleasure. The scribes and the Pharisees themselves spent Friday and all of the Sabbath in this frame of mind. But then there was the dawn of the third day. It arrived, and it turned all of their peaceful sense of security into a frightened uncertainty. And it was an angel who set things in motion. As the scriptures tell us, "Now late in the night of the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and drawing near, rolled back the stone and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment like snow. And for fear of him, the guards were terrified and became like dead men." Well, of course, the guards had all the reason in the world to be scared. For these last couple of days, the tomb had been closed. It was closed with a huge stone that could not be moved by one single man. The tomb had been sealed, a sort of a government seal, so that no one could open it. And within this sepulcher, there had been a cold corpse. And everything was silent around that sepulcher. But in the twinkling of an eye, everything for these enemies of Christ was about to change. The earth had shaken, A shining angel had appeared and rolled back that stone as if it had been no more than a mere pebble. And those guards, they had witnessed Christ's victory over death and the fulfillment of his prophecy. For even as Jonas was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Christ's immortal soul was reunited to his body, the body which had been scourged, crowned, wounded, and killed, and finally buried, now arose. Death was conquered, the devil defeated. The religious leaders at that time knew it all too well, but nonetheless willfully, stubbornly, they laid aside all of this evidence and they actively persisted in denying the truth of what they had seen. The chief priests and the elders, they assembled and agreed that the best mode of action under these circumstances would be to pay off the guards, to offer them a bribe, to say merely, "Well, his disciples came by night and stole him while we were sleeping." But do you know what St. Augustine said? He didn't mince words. He said, "You bring forward witnesses who had been asleep. O wretched synagogue, it was really you who were sleeping when you gave such advice." And then, almost as if they had wished to imitate the faithless synagogue, many others since then have tried to explain away the resurrection in different ways. Some tried to say that, well, his disciples came and stole his body away so that the tomb would not become a place of pilgrimage. They had great respect for their burial places. And others said that our Lord, well, he never died at all, and so therefore he could never have risen. But we know this to be false. Why else did Saint Longinus pierce his sacred heart with a spear? That proved that he clearly was dead. And still others, among them the modernists of today, will say that the apostles deceived themselves and were victims of their own hallucination, that they loved our Lord so very much that when he left them on Good Friday, they could not bear to be without him. And so they remembered, they recollected on all of the miracles and the good works that he had done. And he became so real to their mind that they believed him to be really risen from the dead. Victims of hallucination. But how ridiculous is that? But all of these false claims can easily be put to rest, but maybe that's for another day. For now, let's turn away from the enemies of Christ and look towards his friends. For them, the fright and the sadness of Good Friday were about to turn to the most sublime joy that could ever be had on earth. The scriptures say that Mary, the mother of St. James the Less and St. Jude, and Salome, who was the mother of James the Greater and the evangelist St. John, and Mary Magdalene, they came to the tomb early in the morning to anoint Christ's body. Notice, they didn't come to see if he had risen as he said. They didn't expect it. Though they had been told, they did not expect it. No, they came to see a dead body and to anoint it. Him whom they loved, a man and a prophet who had died. In fact, along the way, these three women turned to one another and asked how they should move the stone. But just as for Christ's enemies, so for his friends, everything, their whole life, would change in the twinkling of an eye. And looking, they saw the stone rolled back, for it was very great. And entering in, perhaps cautiously, they too saw an angel. And this angel would again set all things in motion. The gospel tells us, and entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed with a white robe, who saith to them, "Be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Go, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee, and there you shall see him as he said." Now in this paragraph, there are a few things that are quite notable. First, it was the women who were told to spread the news of our Lord's resurrection. Have you ever wondered why? Well, because the women are told to announce it to the apostles, because just as because by a woman, Eve, death was announced, so by a woman it might be told that life had risen again. And another thing to be noted, of all the apostles, Peter was mentioned by name. Have you ever stopped to ask yourself, why did the angel say, "Tell his disciples and Peter"? Isn't Peter one of the disciples? Isn't Peter the head of the disciples? So why mention him distinctly by name? Well, Peter, as you can imagine, was sorrowful. Perhaps he was even discouraged at this time because he had just denied our blessed Lord three times in the Passion. And for this reason, he felt himself very unworthy of being a disciple any longer. You see the danger in that state. St. Gregory says on this matter, "If the angel had not mentioned Peter by name, he would not have dared to come among the disciples. He is called by name so that he might not despair." You see the goodness of our Lord in sending the angel to call him by name. Do you ever feel unworthy to be called a disciple of Christ? Like you've betrayed him, like you've given up on him and denied him? Well, remember this part of the gospel. When the angel comes to call him back, that he might have the courage to place himself once more among the number of disciples. How many things would be set into motion at the mere appearance of this angel of the resurrection can be found in Scripture and all over the history of the Catholic Church. As soon as the angel descended and Christ had risen, the whole entire world was moved at the angel's message. All times, all places would be affected. Christ's enemies would immediately do all they could, and they still do, to put down Christ's reign in society. Christ's apostles, however, would preach the faith to all nations, even at the cost of their very blood and their lives. It was set in motion, all by an angel. Sinners, back then as well as now and at every time in between, would become saints. The faithless would believe. Man's desire for earthly pleasures would be turned into a hope for a glorious eternity. St. Paul said, "If you be risen with Christ, mind the things that are above." Perhaps you are not worthy to be a disciple. I'm not. But perhaps now is the day on which we should all come out of our material mindedness and shake off all the spiritual lethargy and spiritual blindness and sloth. You might ask the angel of the resurrection to put things in motion for you. So many of us come to Mass but once or twice a year on Christmas and Easter and have to be forced to receive communion once during the Easter season. And the rest of us come to Mass and our minds and our hearts are attached to so many other things. All of us could stand to apply the principles of our faith to our daily lives just a little bit better. Do you believe that Christ rose from the dead? Do you believe that this risen Christ is God? Then the next natural question is, then why do we not serve him with all our heart and all our soul and all our strength? Today, our Lord rises from the dead. Today, he reminds us that there is another life to live for, one which we must merit by good works. Today, then, let us, all of us, begin a new life with a fresh resolution to live for Christ. And may all be set into motion by the angel of the resurrection. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.